I'm all right. We got a big day.
Big day.
Big day.
Wow, we've been having a big month.
I know. Yeah, it feels that way, doesn't it?
So many cool guests. I have something new I'm drinking today. It's a lemonade vodka.
Okay, that's summer. Summertime.
Yes.
I've chosen a single malt scotch, Glenfiddich.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You've gone classy. Very classy.
A little classy because our guest, Dana Goldberg, I feel like she might show me up with something like a 21-year-old single malt something or other or something like that. So I'd be ready.
I should have broken out the Gentleman Jack. I went summery.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. Well, cheers, my friend, to a heck of a week.
Cheers. Yes.
Should I let Dana in as she anxiously awaits in the green room?
Let's let her in. Let her in.
Here comes Dana.
Hey. Hi, friend.
Good grief. It's been forever, man.
It's been way too fucking long. Look at this. I'm ready. Look at this.
Oh, my God. She did show you this. Up.
I just said to JD.
Around. I'm not fucking around. It's a pleasure to meet you, JD.
Same here. Nice to meet you, Dana. Denise just said you were going to show her up.
I'd be classy and go with a single malt scotch, Glenfiddich, the reserve.
Good for you. I'm not a scotch girl. I'm a whiskey and bourbon whiskey girl. So I've got my football.
This is
my baby when I'm sipping. It's so good.
Oh,
I told
wow.
Boom.
What is that?
Caval.
It's Caval.
Oh, I've never tried that because I'm a bourbon whiskey girl.
Yeah, very smooth. I had an Irish one sneak in. We got an Irish one that snuck in, and I've got a couple Scotch ones over there for company, like Bushmills, but we don't bring that out.
Ah, that's funny. You snob.
Honey?
It's good to see you. We are long overdue for a check-in. I had to make sure you were doing okay. You survived it.
No, barely. Are you kidding me? This has been like one of the most challenging years of my career, much less my life.
Oh, it's brutal, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Yeah. And are you guys both in London?
No, Jay's in. Go ahead, Jay.
I'm in South Florida, in Boca Raton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're with my people.
Yeah.
She's with
yes,
the
I am.
Come on.
Oh, man.
You spent a little time over here. You know how it is.
I know. God, you got Death Santis over there trying to run things into the ground. My God.
Yeah. Florida's brutal. I know. I'm trying to get back so relentlessly to see my poor mom, but yeah, I just can't. And then she wants to come here too. And I'm like, I think you still have to quarantine for 10 days. So just chill out. You know, like I'll tell you when it's okay.
She's all
double vaxxed and ready to rock and roll.
Isn't it funny how all the younger generation, we're still like, we're going to stay in our apartment still. I don't feel safe. I got my vaccine. And all the older generation is like, let's fucking go.
My God, it's so true. She's like texting me from the casino.
Right?
I was like, how safe can you be there? She goes, they got plexiglass on the sides of the machines. I wear my mask and I use my hand sanitizer. So I'm good.
Oh my God. Oh, I hope she went big. Let her win big.
She did. She hit pretty good. The other night she sent me her screen with her winnings.
Oh, nice.
Look at you with the five grand she won. Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
I know. It's like the best she's ever done. I'm like, it's not nearly what you've put into it, but you know, you gotta work your way back.
It's just the truth. She likes to play the penny slots. So she could be down 1700. I'll be like, I'll give you another $20. You can play for five more hours.
The pennies. I was, when my mother sent me that picture, I was looking to see what she bet, you know, and she was like $3 a spin. She went big.
So she was ahead with her 5,000. She actually won.
That day, yeah, she's ahead.
That day, right.
You know, I consider it like parental daycare, you know?
It is.
We got restaurants there, you know, she could spend the day there. People will look after her. She's got her own kind of concierge person. So I don't worry when she's there, you know?
Good. She's being taken care of.
Yeah, it's when she's at home, I worry. What is she doing? What is she getting up to? What is she doing now? So, yeah, she's hip. She's cool, man. She's got a medical marijuana card. She's cool.
Wow.
Your mother's cooler than I am. Jesus.
Yeah. When I go to visit, you know, like I'll come in at like 1 or 2 in the morning and she's still awake and she's like, you want to vape and watch Veep?
Stop yes. it.
Yes, I do.
I do. I want to go visit your mom. Say, I'm going to book a flight. I'm going to Boca.
Yeah. She loves hosting people. So you're more than welcome. You just let me know.
She's just a 20-minute drive for me. I can go visit her tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Go on.
What are you doing out here with us? Get out of here, JT. Right? You got places to be. Come on.
Well, here's my mom. To take you through the Dunkin' drive-in, you go to the casino, you come back and you get stoned and watch Veep.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
The full day.
Good taste in TV then. That's good. Full day.
Seriously, this thing has like impacted you poor performers. I can't, you know, like Jay and I talk about it all the time. It's just put a ridiculous dent into our lives, but you know, for you guys that have to be out there, I feel for you, man. Like I can't.
Yeah, it's been a lot. I mean, part of it is that like as a performer or as an artist, and this is, I feel like it's one of the only industries like that. So much of my identity is wrapped up in what I do. It's my joy. It's my creativity. It's my, that's what it is. You know, a lot of people, they get laid off and they're like, well, shit, I lost my income. It's not like you lost your identity for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's what it felt like for a lot of the artists, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. And shifting into virtual world was just painful. I mean, just if the glare on my glasses is too bad, because, you know, I'm in my living room, so who the fuck?
We deal with it all the time. Like we
I can take them off. I can't see you, but at least you can see me. I know. I've gotten older since I've seen you. I've gotten older.
You never look it. That's the problem.
Thank God. It's the lighting. I got good lighting from my front window. The virtual world's just different. I mean, even thank God, you know, there's two of you on here. I can see you and I can hear you laugh, but on some of the virtual shows, you're literally speaking into your camera.
Void.
You don't know if people are laughing. Maybe. They might throw off an emoji and you're like, but what is happening?
Yeah, I think it's this emoji.
I feel your pain. I've been there. Yeah.
You're a musician, you music, right?
Yes. And yeah. I've done a couple of shows that way. And you're right. You're like singing into the void and you're performing into the void, although you know they're there, but you can't hear anyone or see anyone.
Yeah.
It's right. You guys feed off the audience, you know. It's like you're you got one hand tied behind your back and you're trying to do your job. It's ridiculous.
No, it's exactly what it feels like. And so it's been weird. And the other thing that, you know, I do a lot of fundraising. I do a lot of, I raise millions of dollars for organizations across the country, and that all got wiped out. And so that joy of also like doing something good in the world was gone. But my work isn't like, and I do the comedy clubs, but my work is 1,000 to 4,000 people gallop. Like, I don't know when we're ever going to be able to go back to that. I have a feeling it's going to be some sort of a hybrid of like, you know, a few hundred people and maybe they'll live stream, which I don't think is a bad idea because there's so many people that either can't afford some of these things or they're just not in a place where they can get to one.
Right.
It may give them an opportunity to become, that's the positive part of all of this. Like people that have never seen me perform have got to see me perform virtually because some of them are housebound. Some of them are, you know, physically impaired where they can't actually leave.
Yeah.
You know, and this has brought them a world of entertainment that they would have never known before. So those are some of the positive things, but it's been challenging.
I you know, like I think of all the HRC benefits and stuff that you do. And it's like, that's like so powerful just in its own. It's the HRC and you're raising money and these massive celebrities. I mean, I've seen you, yeah, pictures with the president, right? We did.
Yeah, it's been fun. Sometimes I look at those and, you know, I don't like people that name drop when they're like, oh, this person and that person. But I realized that as women, I think we tend to minimize our accomplishments for whatever reason, to play small.
Yeah.
And so I realized that I know my personality and I know why I'm sharing these things. And I've worked really, really hard to get into these rooms with these people. So I may have imposter syndrome at that moment that people don't even see, where I'm like, how in the fuck did I get up here before Meryl Streep and after Lady Gaga or some bullshit?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, I earned this. Right. I earned this.
Yeah.
So, and it's nice for, you know, people to see the pictures and stuff. So yeah, I've had an opportunity to meet some really cool people, and I'd be lying if I said I miss that. I miss those nights where I dress in my tuxedo and I get to rub elbows with people that I've respected and loved and their art and their craft. And, you know, we get to have dinner and I get to meet them, you know, and they're like, don't ever meet your idols. But yeah. I've met some and they're pretty great. I haven't been disappointed too often.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. You've lucked out, because you've had some winners. I know myself, it's like, I look at those pictures and I was like, oh man, Cory Booker. Like, he's so cool, you know?
He's like a kindergarten teacher that happens to be a senator. Where we're like, you know, when they were doing this whole, and I don't want to get too political because I know you guys probably stay away from that, but this whole race baiting bullshit in the United States that we've had to deal with, where they're like, you know, the black community is going to ruin the suburbs. The former guy, I don't even want to say his name. And they're like, you know, you got to be afraid of Cory Booker. I'm like, what? Yeah. No one has to be afraid of Cory Booker.
Yeah, that was huge for me. I was just like, oh God, I love listening to him speak. I love when he's on the floor, you know, it's just,
yeah,
you know, obviously it's cool to meet, like, you know, actors and actresses and whatnot. And speaking of that, I do want to mention to you that next month we have Michelle Bonilla on the show.
Ooh.
Right.
She's wonderful. I was so honored to, she just had this new film. Obviously you'll talk about it, but I get to tout her a little bit because I don't know how she'll speak about herself. She's such a good actress and such a good voiceover actress. And she does all this stuff. And she finally took this heart and soul of this heart-wrenching experience that she had to go through and made it into a short film. And I was lucky enough that she, when thinking of parts, asked if I would play her partner. Yeah. So it was one of those things that, it's a short film. I don't have a lot of lines, but it's not about that in the movie. It's really about the significance of their relationship and the loss of, and I'm not, you know, there's no spoiler alert here, because if you look at the website, you can see exactly what it says. But
it looks so
It was really fun to just even be a part of it. And I play a good person, you know, unconscious in a hospital. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty good at it. I'm pretty good at just lying there. I was like a bottom for 4 hours. I just lied there and let people work around me. It was fucking awesome.
That's the way to break into it right there. That's the way to break into it. But, you know, the thing of it is first of all, it's so difficult to get anything done, you know, out there, like between the fundraising and you know, trying to put a project together. That's the first thing. But the second thing, an LGBTQ project, holy crap. You know, so that right there needs to be commended, you know, and I'm, you know, totally. I know she does like so much mainstream stuff, but I remember her from ER, you know, and it was like the first time that, I mean, way back then she was playing, you know, a lesbian in ER. And I was just like, well done you, you know, I've been like following her since then. And so I was thrilled that she said yes. But then when I started doing my research and I saw that you were in the film, I was like, how are my worlds colliding right now? This is insane.
Isn't that fun? I bet your worlds collide a lot because of how many people you know out there in the lesbian community.
It happens a lot. Like, obviously, started doing.
I'm so impressed by how many people you know, Denise. Like, when she starts name dropping, not even meaning to, I'm like, wow, this is so cool. Like, Taylor Dane sang you happy birthday. And you sent me the clip. And I'm like, who can say that? That's awesome.
I think, right? It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. And most of it is like, you know, that one of the things that I liked about the old cruise that we did was that it was all the hurricane cruise. It was all these people that we had talked to on the phone. And now we were coming face to face with them, you know? So you could be as cool as you want on the phone because nobody can see your face going, you know, in the background. But
when there's a hurricane hitting a ship too. I'm sorry. I was not on that boat, but I heard stories. You know that someone made a documentary, like a mockumentary about that thing going.
But I must see it.
I'll let you know when it's out. I don't think it's out yet, but I think it is going to be. Yeah. There was a producer that happened to be on the ship. So she was like, I'm making a movie about this. So I think she made her name's Paige.
Oh, Paige. I know who you mean. Yeah. Yeah. We just had Sandra on, you know, a couple weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about that. Like, her doing her set was like.
It is a trip performing on a boat like that. Even when it's on a ship, when they're not in hard water, you're still like start on one end of the stage and end up on the other end of the stage. When you're in a hurricane, the water splashed out of the pool. The pool is empty. Like that.
I remember standing on the top deck and watching it, and it was like when you're carrying a soup pot over and it just goes right over the edge. Like, that's exactly what it was like. And not to mention the fact that the waves were rolling over the wall of the pool and landing right where the DJ would have been. You know, it's like, oh my God. Yeah, we were standing on the deck and we were watching the shoreline disappear, and then it felt like 10 minutes before it came back down.
I feel like I'm getting sick just listening to the story, the motion sickness.
It was ridiculous. But that feeling of being with all these people that you know, you kind of felt like you knew, although you just hadn't been face to face, it was ridiculous. But every now and then, like I'll say to JD, I think I'm gonna, like I just, I think I'll reach out to Taylor Dane. She's like, what?
There's a couple of people that have become like near and dear to me that I sort of have to pinch myself and go, I just got a video from Christian Chenoweth, you know, that sort of moment where you're like, and you know, Mary Trump and I have become good friends and through my political work and her book and just a podcast. And Alexandra Billings, the incredible trans actress from Transparent, she and I are very close. And but it's those moments where you go, oh, and it, to everyone else, it's like, what? And I'm like, she's just my friend. Although I do realize Kristen Chenoweth is Kristen Chenoweth. So sometimes I feel very special with those.
That's always going to drop a jaw. I love that little nugget. She's like, little nugget.
I actually have a picture of me holding her. Like a baby. Yeah.
I feel like somebody would have to be like really close by and say, don't do it, Denise, because I would just want to go. Yep.
just bounce her up. What a good girl.
Yeah. It's the same feeling I get when I walk by a smart car. I'm like, I bet I can lift that. You know,
I think that too.
Don't, Denise. Stop.
Not at my age. Now I know my back will go out. But before, I was like, I bet I could do it. If four of us got together and we wanted that parking spot, I bet we could get
you
it.
You could do it. Yeah.
Exactly. Honestly, sometimes we'll go to Costco and I'll see a smart car and I'm like, what are they going to fit from Costco in that car? That's ridiculous.
Just one big thing of red vines.
Yeah, that's it. And nothing else. Nothing else.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you've been here, you know, everything is little. The cars are little, the house is tiny. The roads are little.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like Gulliver all the time.
Oh my God, I'm sure. I was thinking, how long have you been there? What, 10 years and you have no accent? You have not gotten any dialect change.
I'll use the words. I'll use, like, you know, like when I'm talking to people over here, like I will say the flats across the way. Or the boot sale, or you know, the put it in the boot of the car, you know, things like that, so that I don't come across as the obnoxious American all the time.
I've noticed that about you, that you use those words. I just changed my Siri to British because she sounds so much more intelligent.
Yes.
I just realized I could do that, so I did that. Just
you can also change.
I think it's brilliant. It's more calming than someone, you know, I already have one woman telling me what to do all the time. It's nice if I have a British woman actually telling me how to drive. That's fine.
Yeah, I thought it would be good if they had like an Italian mother one, you know, like, what are you doing?
That
you know, like
fantastic.
The New York Italian, like, what are you doing?
I would download that. Yes, JD, I would download that.
Yes. Yeah, like this, I think that it should be the GPS, the Italian mother GPS. What are you, crazy? What are you going to go in that way? What are you going to get killed? You want to kill me? What do you want to kill me?
You're going to wait that long? But then she'd have to be like, you're going to wait that long to signal? Are you going to wait that long to change, get in the left lane? Have you eaten? Have you eaten? Like in the middle of it, do you need to go to a restaurant? Should I take you to a restaurant? Have you eaten?
It's so true. Imagine just that, like, if we had options, like the Jewish mother, the Italian mother, that, like, you just Siri it up or put it on your GPS. Oh my God. It would bring such comfort, you know?
I think it'd be fantastic.
Like, I just posted on Instagram, like when you're feeling homesick, just stick expired bottles of salad dressing in your face and open it up, and you'll instantly feel like you're back with your parents. I was like, yeah, that and the conditioner that comes with hair dye. Like,
oh wow, not for me. I just keep my heat on 60. Then I feel like I'm right at home. Like in the winter, my apartment's a meat locker. I feel bad for company, but I'm like fine because I grew up in a meat locker. Yeah. My mom never turned the heat on. My neighbor will come over and she's like, why is it so cold in here? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
What do you mean? Yeah. Yeah. Like I honestly, that's the one thing I miss being here 10 years. I just miss air conditioning because,
oh my God,
the summers are, don't ever travel abroad in the summers. It's just unbelievable.
We went to, and this was amazing. We went to the World Cup in Lyon 2 years ago before France. The world shut down and watched the U.S. women's national team beat Netherlands. But we stayed in this tiny little place and a friend of mine, owns it as an Airbnb, so we got to stay there. So there wasn't any complaints, but there was also no air conditioning. And it was during the heat wave when it was like 100 degrees in France during those games out of nowhere. And oh my God.
They have like a little table fan. Miserable. Big, you know, like that's a table fan by the window. So it just blows in warm air.
Then you waking each other up the whole night. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
That's all we do is eat salads and sandwiches because I refuse to turn the oven on or use the stove in summer. So it's just salad and sandwiches. It's too hot to come in and out, like to do the grilling kind of thing. So
I don't blame you.
I'm like a Nazi in the summer. Like I'm just like, close that window. Pull down that blind. Don't let any sunlight in.
That's another reason why I won't be visiting you in the summer. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's brutal. My mother just said, maybe I'll come in June. I'm like, no, you will not. What, like then July? No, Ma, there's no air conditioning. Oh, yes. Fuck that. Yeah, I can't. No. Okay. So yeah. I had to just like warn her. I mean, it's bad enough that she has MS and heat brings on an exacerbation.
Oh, wow.
And
symptoms.
She lives in South Florida. So she spends the summers like it's a pandemic. You know, just stay in the house. So I just, I mean, I would prefer to just go there and not even have her do the travel thing. You know, I get my second shot next week. So.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Good.
They're doing 4 weeks in between here. I just feel like.
Well, this is the thing. They talked about it and I understand they're trying to get as many people at their first shot as possible because it gives you like an 85% efficacy on the shot, which is really great. It's much better than zero. But hopefully, and I hate to say it, but you know, now that the United States, at least the people that want to get them, I wish more people wanted to get them, will have an opportunity to, that they'll be able to give surplus to, you know, countries that need it, not necessarily, you know, London, you guys have, I mean, you know, you guys have your own stuff, but like India and the disaster that's happening there and everything else. I mean, it's a global pandemic. There's a reason it's called a global pandemic is that this thing's not over until the whole planet is taken care of.
Exactly. It's just crazy. Like I over here, like everything just seemed to roll out rather smoothly, you know? But then I was like, you know, watching other countries and it was just spiraling. And I mean, even over there, it was a little bit of a bumpy ride, but, you know, now you guys, but over here it was the NHS has just been stellar. You know, it's not even like
you have awesome.
To try and like get online and book or, you know, like that was instant. That was so easy to book online, but you know, Gemma was in the, you know, I'm in the vulnerable category because I'm older. You know, when the time came, like, they just called her and said, "Do you want to come in for your shot?" You know, like,
yeah,
what? So yeah, they're all, everybody else is all set. I'm the last one. I'm just waiting for my second one, and I'm like good to go. But I, you know, but I'm like you. I'm still a little bit people phobic, you know. And Jay being in Florida, like when I talk about like what a hard lockdown it was, like I couldn't go for a haircut. Hence this look. I couldn't, you know, couldn't do it. He's just like, yeah, I'm off to the hairdresser's. Oh, I have a dentist appointment. I'm like, what?
I know.
I had such mixed emotions about it because I needed to work. Dana, I have a day gig that I have a business and I own it with, it's a family business. So I make my own hours and whatever, but it's a pallet and crate business. So we were still essential. So
right.
I was a little resentful. It was such mixed emotions. I always say this when I talk about it, because I wanted to just stay home and not go anywhere and lock down because I'm such a germaphobe. I was saying like I was in training for that my whole life to be, you know, for that with the
rep
and everything. But then I couldn't because I had an essential business and I was grateful that my business wasn't closed down, but I had to go there every day. So it was, so I was still out there. And then we weren't as locked down here. And I had mixed emotions about that because, well, the hairdressers and stuff, that was locked down for a while, but we opened up way sooner than everyone else. But then I kind of felt like we were in a place where the weather is so attractive that, and we're open. So everyone was coming here. And
I know.
Denise knows I live on the beach and I live near Touristville. So it's like, I see all the people coming down from everywhere and people get so stupid when they're on vacation.
Oh
like
my
nothing
God. Yeah.
Happened to them and they're drunk and they're walking around, you know, with their Slurpees and their flip flops and no mask. And I was just resentful about that. You know, I was like, why is everyone coming here? Like, why are they allowed to come here? And, you know, and not masking and look at them. I don't know. I think I sent Denise a picture. They're having a conga line down the street at that restaurant with no masks on.
This close together in a conga line with a drink in one hand. I was like,
I was like, oh my God, I'm taking pictures. I went to pick up my pizza and it's like a pizza place and they have a guy with music outside. So I had really mixed emotions about it. I only played outside gigs and they were so far and few. And then the one gig I did play inside was at a place that's really, really restricted. So it, like, it was like they make people wear their masks. And that was way after everything was opening. But, you know, it was, I'm still have mixed emotions about our non-mask restrictions now. I'm not happy about that, you know? I don't like wearing it. No one does, but I don't like that it's not mandatory. I think that's the rule now, I think.
Well, even with my double vaccination, I wear a mask when I leave the house. I want to get a hat that's like, I got the shot or something, you know? People aren't like, because I'll be honest, I was a little judgy during this whole thing where it's just one of those things I'm like, I know there was no vaccine out, you know? So you know who was not vaccinated because nobody was. And so you could tell who wasn't wearing masks. And I definitely was giving side eye to people a lot. And, you know, I would walk in the morning. My doctor was the one that was like, Dana, you don't have to wear your mask if you're walking outside. Like, just don't get close to anyone. And I'm like, but they say it's airborne. They're like, I'm telling you right now, there's not been one case of someone who was walking outside and got the virus, when there was no one around them. And I'm like, okay. But it took me a little while to, like, relax.
You want to know the crazy thing, Dana? Denise knows this. Last week, I was so sick with a cold and a sinus infection. I went and got 2 COVID tests. Thank God it wasn't that. I'm like, how did I get a cold when I'm masked up and I've got hand sanitizer everywhere on me? Like, it still got me anyway.
It's a regular good question. Cold.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A regular cold got me.
It's the truth, man. Even over here, like May 17th, everything is kind of reopening. We've been doing it 5-week stages. So the pubs that have beer gardens have been allowed to be open, but now all the pubs can be open. and they're going to be shaking.
You have quite the leader over there still. That's for sure. This is my baby. She's like, I'm getting this. I feel like that's your guy. He's like, there's a news conference, right? There's a news conference happening. I'm like, fix your hair, dude. Use a balloon. Did you use a balloon to brush this morning? Come on.
Oh my God. That's the truth. Every time he comes on, I'm just like, how does anybody let him leave Downing Street looking like that?
Who has bedhead 24 hours a day?
All the time. You don't even get it.
I wanted to ask you, when you're doing virtual comedy, how does that work? Like when I sing a song and there's no applause, that's like a little anticlimactic. But when you tell a joke and you do a routine and you don't hear laughter, like how hard has that been doing that virtually?
Well, there's this challenging, you know, because as a comedian, like we work out material and we decide to keep jokes based on audience response.
Right.
So like, I'm going to get out into the real world in the club and be like, that was fucking killing in my head in my living room. I don't know how else to gauge it. But, you know, you can see people, like what I'll do is I'll set up so that we usually do StreamYard on a lot of my virtual shows with like Olivia, because they've been great enough to have one of their people produce the shows. So I'll have a nice crowd on there. And you can see comments in live time. You know, people do laugh and people do that. So it's nice to see that. But at some point, and maybe this has been good for me as a comedian, I just have to stop. I don't mean saying caring about that, but I need to release that attachment to the reaction during this time.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, can be good for some comics, but also give us a false sense of reality to others. So it may be very interesting to see the kind of comedy that comes out of this time. But like the pandemic itself has given me a little bit of material. Now, once I put on my oxygen mask, which took months to really get my bearings and to figure out what I was going to do, because in addition to the personal loss, it was a huge economic loss. There was no way of, you know, that is our day job and our night job for those of us who were doing it full time. So that got scary. And then, you know, some of my colleagues and even musicians, JD, you'll understand this, is that I set up a tip jar, which seems so self-indulgent. And my friend was like, it's the same thing as someone buying a ticket to your show, right, Dana? Like they have to have a way to give you money.
Yeah.
And what I did find out through this year is how loyal and how generous the people that I affect have been during this time when I needed them. And that was humbling and really eye-opening, and they've kept me afloat. So I am so grateful for that. But that's basically,
that's the I've way had of a saying few... we appreciate you, you know,
exactly.
Like, they
exactly.
don't have any other way to do that. It's not like people mm-hmm. write fan letters anymore. So.
I know. Seriously.
Dear Dana.
I don't get fan letters, but I do get some angry messages on social media.
Twitter.
They figured out how to do that.
Twitter, yeah. But you kill on Twitter. Like, I look at them like, Jesus Christ, look at all this shit. Like, I will retweet your shit any day, man. It's so good.
Thank you.
It's so good. Like, of course, again, all the material in the world, you know, in this day and age. So, but, you know, I've always said this to anybody that'll listen, is that that I love your comedy because it's smart, you know.
It's not
a bunch of fart jokes and lesbian jokes and, you know, cat women jokes and, you know, I just feel like so much thought goes into it. But, you know, I mean, it doesn't come across that way, but I just feel like you think about what you're putting together, and that that's what, you know, like when I saw you hosting the HRC gigs, I'm like, that's the perfect person to be doing that. You know, that's just, it's a good pick. It's not, you know, it's not somebody that's over the top. Like, I just feel like you have the perfect tone for, you know, for doing that gig, you know, and I mean, there's gotta be, you know, next year's gig, you know, it's like.
Exactly. Things sound like they're going to start opening up a little bit. I was looking at this countdown. Are we live or is this being taped and then?
No, it's taped, but we've got like five minutes left. Yeah, we've got about five minutes left.
I was like, oh, shit, I've been saying. I would have been a little more interactive with the audience that I know people were watching this, but I'm glad. Yeah, okay.
No. This goes up on Sunday. It's just us.
Cool. Okay.
But yeah.
Thank you for the compliment. What's that?
I just said it's because we're so socially distanced, we've decided to record and then post at one time. Because it's late.
It's getting late there. Actually, what, 11:35 in London?
For me, 10:35.
10:35. Okay,
yeah.
I was close.
Yeah. We've got the time thing down. It's like, it's you guys in LA that I feel bad for, because you got to be day drinking, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm like,
what a pity.
I'll just do right from the bottom. It's almost 3. It's only 2:35 here.
There it is.
I like that. You drink right out of the bottle.
The money
shot. That's my kind of girl.
Yeah, except no one is going to come over and try this one now, because everyone just saw me drink directly from the bottle.
Yeah, your first guest, you'll be like, would you like a glass of Cobalt? They'll be like, no.
Nope, I saw that episode. We're good.
Yeah, no.
Oh, that was delicious. Man, that is good at 2:35. That is really nice at 2:35 in the afternoon.
Day drinking rules, man. Woo! If you learned anything from this pandemic, is that it's okay to have a little day drinking day, you know?
Right. Oh, my recycle bin has been much fuller than it normally is.
Oh, yeah, you can hear it here. It's like, because they pick up the recycling at the same time, and you can hear everybody's bottles. It's like, oh my.
Clank, 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 clank.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, that's, you know, part of the thing that I love, though, is that, like, this area that we're in, everything is so community driven. You know, like, I would take my trash out, and the little girls would be painting rainbows with or doing chalk rainbows in the parking lot for the NHS, and everybody was going outside
on
Thursdays and stuff. So, yeah,
did you say, because I know that we talked about me being there for the riots in 2011, I think it was. Are you near Clapham Junction?
I am 2 or 3 train stops from there.
Okay. Beautiful
south.
Area.
Yeah, yeah. Clapham's kicking. Like, that, it rocks. Like, if you're going to go out and hang out and do stuff, like, yeah, Clapham's the...
Yeah, a friend of mine had a flat right in Clapham, and we got, you know, the morning after the riots, because it was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, buildings were set on fire. It was
bad.
But what was amazing is that the entire community got out at like 8 o'clock in the morning to clean up the streets. It looked like an open casting call for Stomp. It was like shovels and brooms and all this other stuff and these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But they were there. And I mean, the police officers, though, I remember seeing them. They were just so stoic. I got such a great picture of one of them. But you know, everyone just went and helped shops that had been burned and glass was everywhere and they painted. It was beautiful. People came together and that, it was, I wish that, I'm so sad that I feel like that, and I don't want to end on this note, so we'll switch it, but that part of our country, that part of our, you know, community has been fractured by this last administration and I hope we can get it back.
Yeah. It's true. Like, there was a savage entry for me. Like, I was only here about like not even a year, and
that's right.
That went down, and it was crazy. But like you said, it's important to see a community come together in the aftermath. You know, so you're right. I mean, if we've learned anything from this, I think it's like kind of like how to help each other. You know, like. Yeah. You just get wrapped in your day to day and you don't think about it. And, you know, that's why I wanted to have you on, because I think what you do and what all you performers do is so important. And you don't, you know, I know you're a humble group and you don't get it, but people really appreciate you, you know, stepping up in this time. And, you know, brighter days ahead. Brighter days are coming.
Thank you. Absolutely. I'm worried that we're going to. Worried, not worried, that we're about to go into the roaring 20s. Like, people are going to be drunk. Lesbians are going to be able to get each other pregnant without men. Like, all kinds of shit's going to go down. Like, we're going to figure, like, it's going to be chaos, mayhem, cats and dogs everywhere. Yeah.